us worship him. Oh, he became me that I might become him by grace. For he became me that I might become him by grace. For he took my place that I through his love could take his. Oh, he became me that I might become him by grace. In prisoner's chains, in bleeding stripes, oh, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain they began to sing. Their chains were your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, we've all been there, reach out and praise. Oh, Jesus, just praise him this afternoon. I bless your name. Hallelujah. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. Oh, I give you praise. You your name. I bless your name. Hallelujah. I tell you this, the devil can't stand when you just start praising him and praising his name. Those chains have to fall. Amen. Because he inhabits the praises of his people. Let's all stand, and we'll ask Brother Terrence to come this evening to open the service with prayer and to take the prayer requests. There's many needs that we have. Many people are traveling, so let's just keep each of them on our hearts. Let's sing that once more. I bless your name. I bless your name. Oh, I give you honor. I give you
Is everyone with us this evening? Remember the Believer's Faith Challenge update? You got to be here somewhere.
Downstairs.
If you want one, it'll be downstairs. So just pick you a copy up, one per family. Also, remember the 46th Annual Missionary Camp Meeting coming up, August 6th through the 9th. Information's up here. It's always the same, but if you need the information, it'll be up here.
Amen.
Sister Angie Brown sent us a note saying to pray that she's got a special prayer, so just remember her special request. And I know there's some people traveling. Sister Anna just told me that her sister Mary made it to Kenya, so we thank the Lord for that, and a lot of other people traveling. So, LaMarco? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. A lot of people are traveling, so just be with them. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this evening. Lord, be with the ones that we have mentioned here that are traveling. Lord, we have many people getting to places, coming back. Lord, whatever it may be this week, just be with them and guide them and direct them. Keep them all safe. Be with Sister Angie Brown's special request. Be with her. And Lord, many other ones, that Lord, all the unspoken requests of people raising a hand, whatever the needs may be in those situations. Be with Dad this evening, Lord. Give him strength. Lord, give us the opportunity to listen to what's being said. Lord, forgive us for all of our sins, and we love you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Only
the story of Esther. She gave it all to go before the king. Amen. He gave all of himself for us. How much more we should give all of ourselves to him. Brother Mark, would you come this evening and take up the evening tithes and offering for us? Let's turn to page 392 in the Spiral Songbook. Have it near you. Scripture says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Yeah. We're free in God this afternoon. For a long time I've traveled.
Yeah.
thankful for his grace that has given us the new birth in this age. Amen. And we found out by revelation. Amen. We have to keep that sanctified life each day that he can come and speak to our hearts. Amen. Are you ready for the word this afternoon? Amen. Let's change the word of this service. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Jesus, I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, for shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted.
And amen. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 2, and we'll go back to Ezekiel 36 to try to pick up our thought and carry it on. So remember now, this coming weekend, this Saturday, will be Bible study. So just come and be with us. Then on the Sunday, the 14th, Brother Forney will be with us to minister for us. Then the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday at Brother Kershane's. And so just remember each one of those and pray the Lord will bless. I know Brother Boyd is still having problems and all. There's a good many sick among us. So he said he sent his word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. Just remember her wife, she went to the doctor today and said she had a real bad throat, so just pray that the Lord would reach down and touch that, all right? Any other announcements? We didn't miss them. Okay. I hope not. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your love unto us. Thank you for guidance and peace into our hearts and our lives. We ask you to just be with each one, Lord. Remember especially the sick ones among us. You said you sent your word. Well, we believe that we have the pure, unadulterated word of God, laying at least within our possession to where we can call upon you and remind you of your word, of what you said. And we just ask you to reach down and touch all of these that are sick among us. We have Brother Boyd there with the kidney stone and everything, and just take that away from him. And Lord, just have your way with us now. Open our eyes to thine understanding. Forgive our sins and lead us by thy grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now remember, it's a travel journey. That is our whole point of what we've been talking about, is the journey of a Christian. All right, now let's go to Ezekiel 36. We'll start reading about verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the country and will bring you unto your own land. Remember what this is. This is back. This is Ezekiel speaking of the coming of the Jews to the homeland. All right? To their land. It says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. So he's going to do a great cleansing for the children of Israel. Now, how is that to be done? Now he describes the way it's to be done. Verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I have given to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I'm hoping tonight that we can get to the point, but I learned a long time ago, when you get in a hurry, you stumble and fall. You know, so we just move slow and just take our time, all right? Now, what have we been talking about now? We've been reading this from Ezekiel about three messages, talking about the plan of salvation. And isn't it wonderful that here in the Old Testament is a handwritten, I mean, writing down of exactly how the plan of salvation works. Isn't that something? That it's the plan of salvation that I'll give you a new heart, I'll give you a new spirit, and I put my spirit in you. Now, what about that? To put that in the Old Testament, in that form of doing to put it in actually in just a few verses, you know, and actually in the New Testament, all the others, you don't have that much. No, get my point. I believe Ezekiel describes a complete plan of redemption: new heart, new spirit, my spirit within you. All right. See, then you don't have that in any of the other scriptures. Even the New Testament doesn't have enough to show you. It'll talk to you about justification. It'll talk about sanctification. It'll talk about those things, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But what about Ezekiel putting that to the point of expressing what would take place? I'll put you in your land. I'll sprinkle you with clean water, which is washing of the water by the word. All right. Then I'll give you a new heart, promising the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the children of Israel. All right. I'll give you a new heart. He's describing the way to come to salvation. Right. Now, I want to make sure you understand one point that I've been driving heavily. I've watched it, and my wife and I were talking about it today. I've listened three times to the past message. I try to listen to make sure to try to get to a point of where that, you know, that you can understand what I'm saying, and if I see if there's any statements that are made incorrect or anything, I try to correct them. But I want you to think about the plan of salvation. Okay, now, we are a human being, which is a body, spirit, and soul. All right, it takes those three to make the human being. All right, now, when it comes to this part here of Ezekiel, I'll give you a new heart, a new spirit, put my spirit in. Don't confuse the point, because when he says, I'll give you a new spirit, that is not talking about a new second realm of the, where you would say body, spirit, and soul. And see, because how would he give you a new memory, a new conscience, a new affections, and you could do on certain things, but a lot of that won't work. So don't get that confused. Just make it to be what it is. All right? He's describing the plan of salvation. And he says, now I'll give you a new heart. Okay? Now that doesn't mean he's going to give you another one. The word new there does not necessarily mean that. Because remember, Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God. And that's a new creation. But that's not a different one. He's part of this creation. So just don't take it because it will say a new heart and a new spirit. Well, look at our heart. He's going to give me a new heart. No, he's not going to take out your heart. Then if you translate it and can get enough of it to understand, heart and soul is the same word. All right? So then you don't want to say, well, he's going to take my heart or take out my soul and give me another one. No, he's going to work on what he's got because that would not be redemption. If you take away and throw it away, that's not redemption. All right? So if he's going to redeem you, he's going to have to start working on you from the inward part. And remember that what we've brought out, then salvation is not working as much in the realm of the body and spirit. It works in the soul of mankind. The body and spirit are just those elements that goes with it. So I didn't want you to get confused when we keep reading or saying new spirit. Brother Branham explains what that is. All right. But I thought, well, people don't hear a lot of times what you say. So I need to emphasize that. Don't get tied up then to think, well, that new spirit, that's a new memory, new conscience, new affection. That's a new second realm of, you know, because your body, your spirit and your soul. Well, he's going to give you a new spirit. Don't get that. Hide that away. It's not that. That's not what he's talking about. It's a new spirit. It's exactly what he says. You couldn't live with your own self. And remember what the prophet said. He said he'll give you a new heart. Right? Which is soul. Right? Now, as I said, not another one. Going to make that new. He's going to take that soul and mellow it down. So do you remember? See, I'm trying to relate things to where you can remember your experience.
Amen. That's right.
Right? Do you remember when you first came to the Lord?
Yeah.
You know, might have been young, might have been old, whatever. But do you remember you went to the altar with a load of sin?
Amen.
You know, wherever what you went. And you poured out your heart to God. And asking him to forgive you, to save you, and you come forth with a great feeling. You know, you're uplifted and everything. Well, see, just remember that's not taking out your spirit as the memory, reason, conscience, and affections and things. That's not working on that. It's working on, he's going to give you a new soul, not another one. He's going to clean that out. You remember how we had the drawing up, that we took the drawing from the future home, and we wound up leaving it pure.
Right.
Nothing in there. All right, that's what happens to the individual. When that individual is justified and sanctified, all right, his soul is clean. Not his body, not his memory, not his reasoning. It'd be nice. It would really be nice to do away with all of my memory. Wouldn't you? There's a lot in my memory I would love to erase. You know, it wouldn't bother me to go, you know, that's what they try to do with that shock treatment. You know, electrical shock is they try to knock your memory and jolt it out. And then when it comes back, you forget a lot of it. Well, I'd probably pay for that if I could, knew I'd come out of it with better thinking. But I'm still thinking the same old way I was. And that's why Brother Branham will say, he said, no, it didn't take out my desire to hunt.
Yeah.
Well, but you followed me now. We made the drawing and it was pretty and white. That's the person who has been justified and sanctified. The unclean spirit's gone out. All right. Now what's happened there? You remember what I asked you? I said, if that's pure and clean, that's you. Now the snake is gone, that was part of your perversion. Sin is gone, right? And you come forth with a new spirit. Where? The prophet said he gives you a new heart. I keep quoting it like that because when you read the book and you get it with soul or something, you say, well, that ain't what he said. And see, that's how carnal a lot of people are. They won't listen to what you're saying. They make you say what they want you to say. All right? He gives you a new soul, not destroying that, cleaning it up, making it mellow, making it repentant, Making it in love with God. Wanting to do what's right. Repentance and things. All right? And he said, then he gives you a new spirit. Well, that's not a new memory, reason, conscience. No. He gives you a new spirit. Where does he put the new spirit? Brother Brown said he puts it right in the heart. Now, I got one here where he said he puts that new heart right in the center of the old man. So that's showing you where it's at, the soul.
Right.
Now, and then see, that new spirit goes right in that new soul, right in your soul.
Right.
All right? And you're still not right now.
No.
Your thinking has changed, your desires have changed a lot, and all, but it's still not complete. Because he said, then I put my spirit in you. He said, now there's the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what I was talking to my wife today about. And I don't mean this to hurt feelings. I mean it to try to help you to understand. Do you know justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost was the Pentecostal message? Come on. That was... Might not have been exactly Azusa Street as much, but by the time it come over to about 1911 or in there, then you started your oneness and you started your Daddy Seymour and him with the oneness coming forth. And surely they would have believed in three stages of grace. That's what was the Pentecostal idea.
Amen.
But what about your prophet trying to tell him what happened? And he said, but yet said, you missed it. He said, because most people believe when you give that new spirit, they believe that's the Holy Spirit. He said, that's not right.
No. Amen.
He said, that's a new spirit. He said, you couldn't understand your own self.
Right.
It gives you a new desire, new thoughts. Like I said, you come to the altar and you ask God to forgive you. You remember that?
Amen.
You ask God to forgive you. You come forth with this peace in mind, and you're feeling good, you're living different, you act different. All right, that can be the full new birth.
Amen. Sure.
But also it can be that new spirit, because irregardless of whether it's 2 minutes or 2 years, you're going to go through a new heart, a new spirit, and put God's spirit in you, or you don't have the new birth.
That's right.
All right? Now remember, that was the Pentecostal message. Do you think they understood it? Brother Reynolds said they didn't. He said, especially the Pentecostal, he said, they think that new spirit is the Holy Spirit. Well, what about a prophet? Now, here's a group of people, the Pentecostals, with a message of three stages of grace. Right?
Yep.
That's what they taught. That's what they believed. Right. Well, here comes a prophet having to straighten that out.
Right.
And I'm sure there was a lot of those Pentecostals preached it correctly. We're not throwing off on them. Anything? I'm sure they preached it correctly. Some of you maybe come down through there. Some listening in. You maybe remember those days when, you know, that things were being taught back there. But it's like I said to you before. When Brother Branham had those 300 ministers, right? That they challenged him on his doctrine of water baptism. Now, I've asked you to go and check, but I think you ought to have enough sense to know. Them wasn't Baptists and Methodists. Now, there may have been a few sprung in, but them were Pentecostal people. And a lot of the Pentecostal people, the black people especially of Haywood and them, had already baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before Brother Branham ever come on the scene. Especially Jesus' name, because they went into water baptism under regeneration. What was they after him about? Why didn't they agree with him? If they believed in Father, I mean the Lord Jesus Christ. Or Jesus Christ, why? Because he was against them preaching under regeneration. And they flare up about that. They were preaching regeneration. That's what I mean. We think we understand the prophet's message. When I'm trying to make a simple illustration, if you'll listen. That there was a people with a message of three stages of grace. That was the Pentecostal message. Right? You think they understood what he tried to explain? If he did, why did he try to explain it? Right? Why did he title it like, why are a lot of Christian people, you know, can't understand? And he'd say, people misunderstand and say, that new spirit, they can handle that new heart. I remember in the Baptist church when they taught a new heart. Come on. I remember that in the Baptist church when they talked about a new heart. That it doesn't mean to take your heart out and put another in. It means to mellow it down. It means to change the nature of it. To making it something that's pliable that can be used. Well, surely your Pentecostal ought to know that. But why was it they missed that new spirit? Because you know yourself what they done. They wanted the gifts, the tongues, the speaking, the things, and they didn't care what the word said. Right? Come on. What about it? What about it of what we do? Okay? What about a new heart? A heart of flesh. So you'll receive then a new spirit in that heart. And then I'll put my spirit in that. See? New heart, new spirit, and my spirit. Three things. But do we believe that? And like I've told you now, I'm as plain as I can be. If I'm wrong, you tell me. I'll be glad to come back here and tell who told us wrong and tell what you say is wrong. But listen, church. If we don't get this right of understanding from reading what a prophet would say, how could we get it from anything else? I mean, we've got his very words to express. I give you a new heart, a new spirit. He said, and that's not the Holy Spirit. He said, you couldn't even agree with your own self. Well, now think about the drawing of what I'm talking about. There's the heart. It's clean. He gives you a new spirit. It's clean. Right? Because God can't give you a wrong spirit. He give you a new spirit. It's clean. All right. But if you don't do something about it, that unclean spirit will come back. And what does it come with? Religious demons. Right? All right. See, then looking at it and seeing it in the correct way, then we ought to know where we're standing. He never said, I'll just polish up the old spirit, polish up the old heart, but I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. Now that sounds just exactly like it's going to take it out, put another one in. I got quotes from Brother Brown saying he's going to give you a new heart now. He gave me a brand new heart. Well, them doctors, they tell you my heart's brand new. What are they going to tell you when it quits? That's silly. That's just what I'm trying to be. I try to preach straight and try to hold it to a line, but then I get to that point to knowing and realizing what we as human beings think about. He said, you get a new spirit. You quit your drinking. You get a new spirit. You quit your drinking, lying. You get a new spirit. And you can do most anything with that spirit. But that isn't what God's talking about. A new spirit. He said, I'll give you a new heart, a new spirit. Why? He didn't have to give you a new spirit. excuse me, why? He'd have to give you a new spirit to live for him. Well, you couldn't even live with yourself. Do you remember I gave you one? I'll find it here in a few minutes. Where did it verify what Brother Branham said? He said, you accepted God, but said, has God accepted you?
That's right.
Right?
That's right?
On one of these quotes, that's what he's describing. That's why he said, you can't get the Spirit of God. Why? Now, we've got to hear some one of them. I'll find it in a minute, but that's all right. He said, you can't get the Spirit of God. In other words, why is it you don't get the Holy Spirit? Why is it that the fact that you accept him, how come he don't accept you? Now, come on, did the prophet say that? See, it's because you don't approach him correctly. You approach him to the point of trying to get a new heart, and then when you do, you get a new spirit, and oh, you're happy, you're joyous, you love, and it's sweet, and everything. And you think that's the Holy Spirit, and you won't seek anymore. But I'm trying my best. This is the one goal that I've done. And I wish, I told my wife today what I wish I had done. I wish I'd had you to write down your experience on a piece of paper and hold it in front of you while I preach. Because I'm trying my best to get you to see that you've been through a lot of these things. You've been through a lot of these experiences, these happenings in your life. That you come to the altar, you cried out before God, you come to the altar, you weep, and you get up feeling so happy, so wonderful, like a load of sin is gone, and you're so great and good, and you start going to church, and you start doing things, and you become a very, you know, religious person. Well, if that's the Holy Spirit as the new birth, wonderful. But what if it's just that new spirit?
Amen.
Well, how do you know the difference? Each one of them is a spirit.
Amen.
Each one of them is a spirit from God.
Amen.
And the spirit he gives you as a new spirit is not a vulgar spirit.
Nope.
To make you think and act and do wrong. It's a good spirit to make you think and act and do right.
Amen.
How are you going to tell the difference between it and the Holy Spirit? The only way I can put my experience whatsoever and hold it in the right way is to realize from the day God came into me, and you heard my story, and I was 2 years in this message before I'd ever say I had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I didn't jump into the message and say, I believe the prophet, so I know I got it. Brother so-and-so said I had it. You know. I didn't until there was something settled within me. Well, from that day in that altar, when I raised up from there to this day, there's one thing settled. This is right.
Amen.
This is God's word. And the prophet is an explainer or diviner or whatever you want to call it of that word. So why can't we just keep reading? That's what I asked you to do. I said, go home. Take your computer. Just run in it, Stony Heart. Run in it, New Heart, New Spirit. And find out how many times Brother Brown said this. And read each one of them. We shouldn't need but one.
That's right. Amen.
But I give you at least two or three for you to understand. A new heart. He mellows that heart down. He takes that soul of that individual and begins to work on it. He's not working on your body. He's not working on your spirit to try to get it lined up. That's what we think. We think, boy, I'm doing good. I got it lined up. I ain't done nothing wrong all week. Oh, man. You don't like me to quote Brother Branham, do you? What'd he say? Brother Branham, do you sin? He said, every day. Now, is that throwing off on him? I'm bragging on him because mine's about three times a day.
Yeah. Right.
But now listen. So I give you a new heart and a new spirit. Then I put my spirit within you. The Holy Spirit. All right. Now we're to that third stage or phase of your new birth. We're to the phase or the part of talking about something happening now that his new, that he'll put in you his spirit. The Holy Spirit, the prophet said. Right?
Amen.
We read them. You need them. I got them laying here. He gives you the new birth in the soul. That don't change your body. It don't change your natural human spirit of the memory, reason, conscience, affections. It begins to work upon those places and working from the inside out. Because what? He put inside of you a mellow soul. A soft, mellow soul. He puts within that soul a new spirit.
Amen.
Then when he gives you the new birth, he puts his spirit within you.
Amen. Right?
Mm-hmm. That makes the new birth.
Amen.
There's your three stages. Same as justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've been studying on the future home, we're capable now of going into the future home to talk about the third stage. The third stage, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you know what I like about what the Bible says? I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Amen.
Now that's scripture. That one's in Matthew, the one in Luke, saying basically the same wording. Says, I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Why does it say and with fire? Does that mean that there's three stages, one's a baptism and then two fires or something? What does it mean? See, that was what the problem was. I'm just saying it plain language as it can be. That your people, because I remember back there thinking about these things and us talking about it. That a Holy Ghost and fire, and I talked to Pentecostal people about that, and I'd say, what does that mean? Holy Ghost and with fire. Well, that's two baptisms, you know. That's a baptism, and then the other one, you come forth speaking in tongues, one would explain, you know. But why does it say it like that? And now I say it this way. The Bible always says what it means and means what it says. Now, let's forget anything else. Well, maybe they just mistranslated that. Well, maybe we need to go to you to find out what's right and wrong about it. You know, you ought not be that way, Brother Dale. Well, if you can correct the word, I'm supposed to kiss your toe. That's what I've always said. If you can correct Brother Branham, pull your shoe off. I'm supposed to worship the one that could do those things. See, I know you can't do it. But I know the word is always right.
Amen.
Why didn't it just say with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Or the Holy Ghost shall come down with fire and do it. But it says the baptism of the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'm like this, that I was talking to one man one time, and I told him something that Brother Run said, and he said, I don't know where he said that or not. I said, I'm telling you what he said. Well, I don't know what he said. I said, well, give me time to go look it up. Well, he didn't want to do that. He said, what are you talking like that for? I'm talking like this. If you don't know, the Bible says the baptism of the Holy Ghost and with fire, we can pull it up here and show it. Because that's what it does. But why? Why? And your prophet says it. Next comes the baptism of the fire and Holy Ghost, that God might dwell in us. And the only way he can dwell in us is for something to happen after you're sanctified. There was a doctrine among your denomination called entire sanctification. Brother Brown said that's wrong. Did the Methodists believe sanctification was the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You could say right for the ages, but they believe the baptism. That wasn't enough to bring it to the complete baptism. It was a work of the Holy Spirit. It's what your prophet said. Uh-huh. But it wasn't enough to call it the baptism. But Wesley called it the new birth. And that's what it was. You remember the other day in the message I was trying to bring? Luther had three stages. Wesley had three stages. Pentecostals had three stages. Anybody that's ever born again, I'm quoting your prophet. They said, do they have to have the three stages? He said, absolutely. Amen. If not, you're not born again. Now you say, well, I don't believe that. Because I know people that done, and I done myself. I just had one. All right. Go ahead. Listen to what your prophet says off the message of the future home. Go ahead with number three. We'll pick these up. Then secondly comes sanctification. He just got through explaining, here's a human heart and here's a human heart and things. And all he just got through explaining that. Then he goes down to paragraph 91. Stop it there. Then secondly comes sanctification, which sets our mind in order for holiness. To think right, taken away. Sanctification is a compound Greek word which means cleaned and set aside for service. Then the next comes the baptism of the fire and Holy Ghost, that God might dwell in us. Listen. And the fire of God cleanses our heart from sin and puts the Holy Ghost inside. Then you bring forth the same life that this did because that's in us. Now listen. Sanctification, the unclean spirit's gone out. But you remember the drawing? Clear and white. You remember the message? You remember what we've been talking today? A new spirit? All of that? But why is it put there? Because that's you. And you know what's wrong with me and you? We lean to that old spirit. But you see what I'm talking about? You know, take the drawing, pull it up, and it's clean. What happened? What's there? You're the same person. Take my case. I believe I walked in a sanctified state in the Baptist church after I found out what it really was. Because I know what God done. So I don't worry about it. All right? But you see, I didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost till 2 years in this message. Amen. All right? Now, who was I and what was I? And what kind of shape was I in? To the world, I was in good shape. Because that's what they looked at. To the church I was in, I was made a deacon at 23 years old. Was young. They thought the world of me that way. They didn't run me out of the church. I left because I knew the doctrine of that church and where I was wrong. I knew when I got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, no Baptist church would accept that. And if I left and come back, I was going to be rebaptized. That's the doctrine of the Baptist church. Right. So he wouldn't have. They didn't run me out. I walked out of my home. Amen. But what was I? Say the 2 years from the sanctification to the receiving of the baptism. I was me. Right. I was a religious person. I went to church. Yep. We never had any arguments from the day my wife and I married. We never had an argument over whether we was going to church, right, what we was going to do. There was never a discussion. We went to church. We've always went and never were. And you know yourself, you've been around here long enough to know, when we go on anywhere that we're not here, we're in church. Because that's just part of me.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm that. Well, that's all right. I'm not de-Christianizing you. I'm just telling you to do better. Okay. That come out pretty good, I guess. But listen. Do you understand what I'm getting at? You're standing there washed and clean. You have a new spirit. You love the Lord. You want to do what's right. But yet you don't have the new birth. You don't have the dove. Well, what are you? You're a religious person. Wonderful. Good person, maybe. All of that. But that's where you can slip backwards and forth now. Remember that, and that's where anointed ones can come in. We've tried to cover all of that.
Amen.
All right. But see, why do I have to have a fire? Why do I need that fire? Because listen, you ain't going to like it. But listen, because what I was a religious person. I'll talk about myself. I loved the Lord. I went to church. That's all I ever done. Was just prayed and went. I was welcomed all over the Baptist Association and all like that. I could go and fellowship with them. I tried to do what was right. I didn't have to quit drinking because I didn't drink. Will that make you better? No, it made me the one fact. I've tried to explain it to you. I was born a poor boy. I couldn't afford a liquor bottle. You can take what you want to about what you're thinking. That's as God's honest truth. I couldn't afford to smoke. And I was not going to let that be a part of me, because in the Baptist, I didn't let it be a part of me. You understand? For years, living in a place to where you couldn't have laid a finger on my life. Until I was working with a lady one day, and she said something, and I said, oh, that's all right. I said, all of us have our problems. She said, Sam, I've been here a couple of years with you, and said, you ain't never had a problem. Well, that meant something to me. At least I had done something to portray Christ a little bit.
Amen.
You know. You understand what I'm saying? From the time I was sanctified, you getting that baptism of the Holy Ghost? I was me. I was a me with that new spirit. They wanted to go to church and wanted to do what's right, wanted to quit what I needed to quit and do what I needed to do. How about you? Did you ever live in all that? But you understand what was wrong. I did not have eternal life in my soul. I did not have that new birth that I needed. So there's a lot got to be burnt out. So for the next 30 minutes, now remember one thing. We're talking about Holy Ghost and with fire as to be the fact that when you're justified, that's wonderful. That cleans out sin. When you're sanctified, that unclean spirit goes out and you're walking in a great place of a new spirit and all kind of things happening, but you're still not eternal. And when the Holy Ghost came in, he can't go in there. Why? Because you're still you. You ain't dead.
Right.
You're still alive.
That's right.
You're still living, and who you living for? I just had willpower. You know yourself what I'm talking about. Most people went back into the world. They come to church. They repent. They go back into the world. And they smoke. They drink. And then they become religious. Well, they don't make no difference. Like I told Wade, said, well, you know how the Methodists are. They don't care anyway. You know. Well, this was a Methodist preacher. You know. But listen. There was too much of me still alive. And that's what I'm asking you to go now to the message of the future home and start right back over reading where that unclean spirit goes out and it comes down. I've got it right here where it comes out and all, and then sanctification and then the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Because you see, the Holy Ghost can't come in until everything is burned out. And there's where your fire comes in. That's why it's right when it says Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire precedes the Holy Ghost to burn out anything that's left of you. That's why most people never get the new birth. They won't come to that place. They won't die out enough to let it burn out. Because they think they got it. They shout, they speak in tongues, they pray for the sick, they cry, they do it. I think they've got it. But listen to what he says. Go ahead, paragraph 91 that we was on. Then the next comes the baptism of the fire and Holy Ghost, that God might dwell in us, and the fire of God cleanses our hearts from sin. Well, now if it cleanses our hearts from sin, there must be some sin there. Is that sensible? Right? It must mean there's something wrong. So sin and puts the Holy Ghost inside.
Amen.
Not just an anointing, see?
Right.
And we bring forth the same life that this did. All right? Roll it on up a little. Now the sanctification, the third, second stage of it, cleanses the mind, sets the heart, the mind of the heart in order of holiness. You don't repent for this. You come to, then he's baptized. Okay. But then when he gets sanctified, that cleanses that desire out of him. Now some people think that that sanctification is what burns you out. It burns out what you don't need. Yeah. Cause it's part of your life that you don't need. Yeah. If I repent and it goes out, that sanctification took it out. Yeah. But it's not the burning.
Right.
Come on, I'm trying to get you to see something, because God ain't coming into an unclean vessel.
Right.
If there's any sin left in our vessel, God will not come in.
Right.
Now you can claim all you want to and think you've done everything you want to. But just remember that statement. If that Holy Ghost comes in, you are clean.
Right.
Burn out. Because watch what he's saying. Then he's baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Cleansed, burned out, cleaned up, and puts you in the service of God. Sanctification only cleanses the vessel. Okay? Now, are you with me? Let's go a little further on the future home. Go ahead to paragraph 107. You see what happened? Christ came and called a church to repentance. Baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Sanctify the church. And with the fire of God, come down and burn out all the filth and come and dwells in the human heart. God won't come into an unclean vessel. You see why Brother Branham is right then? If you accept him as wonderful, but if everything ain't in the right state and place, he won't accept you. If he comes in, he's accepted you. If he don't come in, he hasn't accepted you. Well, Brother Dale, you need to get happy about this Holy Ghost that we have. You shouted long enough. Sit down and listen. Now, I'm serious. When I thought God years ago, there's a brother. Brother Reed. He called me up and he said, Brother Dale. I said, I want you to do me a favor. I said, what is it? He said, I want you to go to Jamaica. Okay. Because we had made plans and talked about it. He said, but I want you to go to a oneness convention and preach. That I've got a connection with a bishop. I can get you to preach. He said, they've had a couple of brothers come over a year or two. So most of you have heard this story, okay? Just go to sleep while the others are listening. As a couple of brothers had been over a year or two before then, and they just tore the place up. Because they just ripped, snorted with, you got to believe Brother Branham was a prophet. If you don't believe it, you're lost. And it's a, and they really tore up instead of doing any good. And he told me what they had done. He said, but the brother wants somebody to come and explain the message. Now here I am going to oneness Pentecostals that come down from Bishop Haywood and all of those, the black people coming down from Azusa Street. They already baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're to hear them saying one God, but they can do it. And I thought, me, I'm an old Baptist that never even come through Pentecost. I said, Brother Reed, I didn't do that. He said, you come on my mind to get you to come and do it. Will you do it? I said, yes, sir. I went over there. First day, went out to eat with the bishop. I told him, I said, you know the reason I'm here. You asked Brother Reed. And he said, yes. I said, you know also that the two brothers that had come over here tore everything up. He said, yes, sir. They messed up everything. Nobody understood what they're talking about, nothing. And I said, I'm not here to do that. I said, I'm going to tell you one thing up front. Brother Branham never done that away. I said, I'm going to tell you how he'd do it, and that's the way I'm going to do it. I said, I'm going as far with your people as you want me to go. From then on, it's left up to you to take them on, not me. He said, I'll tell you what you do, Brother Dale. He said, you take the morning service, pour your heart out. Teach them whatever you want to teach them about the message. He said, at night, you're going to have 20, 30 ministers sitting on the platform with you that knows nothing about the message. He said, would you back up for that and just not hammer the message part? I said, that's exactly right. I started out on a morning. I preached an hour and a half on one God, answered questions for an hour and a half. Went that night, preached. If you'd have been there, you'd have thought, well, you didn't back up too much. Well, I didn't back up. I just didn't stomp. You understand what I mean? I didn't holler and scream. I just started on one God. I knew they could relate to that. So I even told them, I said, hey, here, you baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, them oneness in America, the ones I'm associated or heard of, they baptize Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They don't, you know, necessarily do Lord Jesus Christ or Jesus only, maybe. And it was three women preachers sitting back there. I made this statement. I said, we know that Eve was the first woman preacher. They fell back there just dying laughing. I never said another word. They knew what I was talking about. One of them come to me out of service and invited me to come preach for her. But you understand what I'm getting at. I was not born and raised in Pentecost. But I knew what Brother Branham said. And I knew this like Ezekiel's and things like that. I knew that when I was in the Baptist church of what that scripture meant. So I just took the Bible and went through the Bible with them. And they invited me back. I preached six services. Last service, I so voice was gone, I had them to put the children. You've heard me tell it. I had them to put the children. Wade and them done real good. Him and Brother Harris, oh, they was really taking care of me. They was gone every night. They was preaching to the believers on the message. I was left by myself, spent 3 nights with an assistant pastor and his wife. You know, great people. But I had them to put the kids up front. And I started talking to them. Just talking, it's like just enough that I could get. I said, your mom and daddy's going to tell you all about speaking in tongues and what you got to do. I said, let's just talk a little bit about the Lord Jesus. Got through, there was an altar full. First time I'd ever seen anybody try to make somebody speak in tongues, because they took the little kids and I didn't fuss at them. What are you saying? I'm just saying one thing. We can take the message and just beat people to death with it. And it don't do no good. But to let it be from our heart. From a heart that's been through these things. See, I had been through the experience of justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I knew what it was. And they had a guy named Prophet Clark waiting and knows about it. And they said he had a discernment. And I saw him use it 3 times. And I saw him be right. Because I was standing up there looking, and the 3 people he went to pray for was the 3 people that I knew God was dealing with. Right. Out of 300 people or something. But when he finished, he swung that old hand around towards me. And I thought, man, he's going to tell me off. When he does, I'm going to get up and hug his neck. He's going to just tell them what I've been doing all this week. He swung that hand around and he said, and this man here, he ain't told us nothing but the truth all week long. Old Brother Reed jumped up, the platform was about this high. Brother Reed jumped up, went off the platform out in mid-air, down in the audience running around. And those people, a lot of them were seeking God. And I wanted to pray with them about it. Like I said, I saw him pick out 3 people. But the 3 people out of the crowd, I would have went to them, the 3. I'm just telling you it's honest. But I'm trying to get one thing. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost and fire, then you can be questioned about what it is. Amen. But just remember the illustration I'm trying to give you. That whiteness, that thing, that new spirit coming. Everything's working pretty good, but you're still you.
Right.
And you ain't burned out. Nope. So you need a burning out of the Holy Ghost and fire. Not at this 2 different times. It's the Holy Ghost coming in, and then it does, it burns out anything that's left in you that is not right and brings his life right into there to live in you. I got one when we get on up in the Statue of Perfect Man that I'd never seen that one. Brother Brown said, when you get born again, I told you the other day about it, said, when you get born again, said, there's a little light in your soul. Said, it's about the size of a button. And he said, that just grows and grows. I believe that. That's the stature of a perfect man. It grows and grows until it grows true. Listen to these others and then we'll quit. 107. Did I finish that one? And with the fire of God come down and burn out all the filth and come and dwells in the human heart. So just remember one thing. He is not going to come into a heart that is not clean. Now, you can't pay your way in, work your way in, and do anything. It ain't going to work. He's not coming in to a place that is not burned out. Well, I ask you, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You remember Paul? They thought they was doing pretty good. They were having great things taking place. Paul said, have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost since you believed?
Amen.
Showing them they did not have the new birth. They did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because he's asking them since you believed. The Baptist says you get it when you believe. Paul says you don't. You got to believe first. And remember what I'm explaining? It's got to come in, clean out all the sin, burn out all the desires, clean everything out, and come and put his own life in.
Amen.
Now there's the new birth. All right? Because there's the baptism.
Amen.
Okay? 110. Roll it on. But now it has to go through a baptism of fire. Holy fire from God, which cleanses the earth. Now remember, the earth and the person's the same. Right? What says for the earth? For the man. The earth goes through justification in the days of Luther. The washing off, I mean the days of Noah, washing it off. Sanctification was Jesus dropped his blood on it to cleanse and claim it. And one of these days it's going to get a fiery baptism.
Amen.
But I love this. You and I have stepped up ahead of that. Because we get the justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and a change of the body.
Amen.
It's going to be a burning out. But I like it now.
Amen.
I think we ought to realize and let it burn it out of us now.
Amen.
Listen. Which cleanses the earth and heaven. So you think the earth, now listen, from the days of, thank the earth, with the earth for a minute. Water cleansed it. It didn't make it eternal. It didn't make it right. It just made it clean. Sanctification only cleansed and set aside the earth. Or, the better way of saying it, sanctification, really, Jesus, when he dropped his blood on this earth, claimed it. It's the best way of saying it.
Amen.
He claimed this earth by his own blood, because there wasn't enough blood to cover the earth. All right? And one day it'll get a fiery baptism. To precede the coming future home.
Amen.
All right? So now listen. In its purchase so that the redeemed can live on it. Live in it in peace. Notice, the baptism of fire is to cleanse it from sin, from sickness, from disease, germs, and from sin. Now, every this must be left in there. After Jesus cleanses and claims it. That's in the world. Much left. So you can see there's a lot left in me and you. You understand what I'm hollering about? We think we're clean. And this, us being who we are. You may like yourself, but just remember, you're a sinner saved by grace. Don't strut too much. Okay. From sinners, from the devil, and all his group. Now remember, Brother Brown says, when that Holy Ghost fire over there, he said it even burns the devil's out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Well, what's going to do it? It needs to burn the devil out of me and you.
Yeah.
Oh, what devil? I'll tell you what, I've never done nothing wrong. Brother Dale's been thrown off on me now for about 3 weeks. He's been beating on me about all these things. Well, get your foot out of the way. I can't step on your toe if you ain't got it in the way. Some of you brothers are in the military. What did they have? They had a place out there that they had this machine gun that was just running straight across, right? And you got down on your belly and you crawled all the way through, right? Well, you know what? Whose fault was it if you raised up? It was your fault. But you wasn't going to do that. You're going to hug the mud till you got to the other side. Well, that's what I'm trying to do. Get everything that I can burned out of me. Now then, we're going to have to get over to some more. We're going to have to get to some bases to where the prophet was talking about. Do you sin? He said a Christian sins daily. We still got repenting to do. We still got to bring a message that Paul brought of how that Holy Ghost will burn out all of those things. But it's, what is it? Washed by the water of the word. Cleanse and set aside. Listen. He is to be cast out into the lake of fire. Holy fire from God comes down from God out of heaven and burns it up. Notice, to make it ready for the God to dwell in. And God in the new world that is to come is to dwell in the earth. Cause you say, God, he dwells in the human heart. See, that's what you say. You say, but he lives in the human heart. But he and the bride becomes one and they go to their home in the new world. Both world and the person, they can live in it. See, the heart has to be cleansed like that. Now to the individual. Before God can come down in the person of the Holy Ghost, which is Christ, coming down and dwell in the human heart, it first must be repented. It must be baptized in water in His name to show who it belongs to. Amen. Then it must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And then the holy fire and Holy Ghost from God comes down and burns out all of the desires of sin. All the nature of the world. And therefore he that sins willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more. Okay. What about it? All right. What about it? Do you understand what I'm driving at? Justification don't burn out the things out of us. Sanctification only gets rid of the snake. Because we're still us. Yeah. And we can say all we want to on that. The devil made me do it. Uh-huh. What did Brother Brown say? Come on. What did Brother Brown say about it? He said, you went out to him if he does something. Said he didn't come into you because it was already burnt out and clean. He said, you went out. Right? Come on, church. I hope you follow what I'm talking about. Because I've tried, I asked the Lord, how do I do this? How do I explain this? What do I do? See, like I tell you, you say you don't believe it or do what you want to, shake your head, whatever, call me exalted. I've been preaching this for almost 50 years, so I'm not worried about it. All right? I've got tapes back to 2002. So we'll go that far back and see how many times I preached on the new birth. Because it was only like two or three years ago we run a whole series. Because you see, I believe it. I've experienced it. I'm trying to tell you, the disciples, 3.5 years, God let that happen to where that we could follow each of their steps instead of just saying, there it is. They had to go through all of those steps. And you and I have too. Then he lets people like me come along. At church, I never did drink. I never did smoke. I never did cuss. I liked my face to stay the way it was. It's the easy way to get your nose turned is to have a smart aleck mouth. I always tried to get along to everybody, not compromise. No, never would. I just tell you, he's going to leave me alone now. Just don't fool with me. I don't want to fool with you at all. You heard me tell it, and I was in the Baptist church before I joined the church. They come to me trying to get me to come to the church and get saved. I said, listen, I live a better life than your deacon board does. I wasn't backing up. They knew I knew who was doing what. But you see, I also told one of them one time. I went to this deacon, and they had told us about him. And if I ever come to one of you, you better believe on one thing. When I come, get ready. Because we ain't going to talk no 5 minutes about something. I went to that deacon one day because he was accused of running around. Which is running around with somebody else because his wife was dead. And I said, if I ever find out you're wrong, I'll take you to the church. I said, do you understand what I mean? I said, I meant I will physically take you to the church. Because I've never been one that liked to play with religious matters and things. I said, I'll take you before the church. Well, he finally wound up getting shot, but I was done gone. I didn't have to put up with none of it. But I'm just telling you, church, I've always tried to live a life before Christ and before people. And I know I fail every day. My wife can tell you. She can talk to you. She knows I don't live a perfect life. I have my problems. I have my ups and downs. But I've tried. Because the reason I've tried is to try to preach the word to you. Preach to you about justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, had a funny thing. Come on, musician. Had a funny thing back right before I come in the message. And I was talking to a couple of friends of mine. One of them was a Methodist preacher. Another was a Baptist. And we used to have services there at work overnight. I mean, we had like a 30-minute time. We had services. I've seen people prayed for. I've seen them healed and everything. Prayed for the baptism of the Holy Ghost right there just before the line started up. Prayed for the line to sit there long enough for them to do it. You know. But listen. I tried my best to talk to them about Jesus Christ. Just like I'm trying to talk to you about. Just be sensible about your life and think about it. Think where you come from and what you're doing. I told you there the other day about it. I always wondered if I could take it if somebody slapped my jaws. I had a man to slap it one day. I stood there and just looked at him. Grinned back at him. And he turned and walked off. He knew, and I knew too. But I knew that thing was gone. Amen. I thank God for that opportunity. Amen. That could happen to me. A few minutes or 30 minutes, an hour or so, he come back up here and apologize. But listen, church. It's Holy Ghost and fire. If there's anything left in us, if we have the new birth, you know one thing for sure. It was all burnt out or he's not coming in. Well, what's the problem with him not coming in, a lot of people? It's not going out. And I'm saying this with a seriousness from my heart. A lot of people don't know that they need to be justified and sanctified and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost or know what happens at each stage of that. To be able to tell. You could tell somebody come up here and they'd say, Brother Dale, I want to be prayed for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, okay, we'll pray for it. But let's talk a little bit. Because most people just want to pray and get you emotionally. And I'm not against that. I believe in every bit of it. I'm more emotional than anybody in this building. And you'd think, well, I'll tell you what, you just don't walk in these shoes. Now, I love the Lord. And I've always just had that desire to see him. Well, he's allowed that. Okay? If I miss it, I ain't worried about it. He's given me what I asked for. I asked for my family, and he gave me a scripture. It says, you will be there with your offspring. Amen. You say, all your kids going to be saved because of yours? No, all my kids going to be saved because God's going to get to work on them. Amen. And he's going to burden them, and he's going to drive them to their knees, because that's what I'm praying for. Brother Dale, you're praying for the, I'm praying for God if he has to. I'm praying, listen, if God has to, I'm praying that he turn the devil loose on this whole church. If that's his only way of getting us to the right place, turn it loose. Boy, I don't like you. Well, I ain't concerned whether you like me or I like, it's whether God likes us. Why shouldn't you have that desire? Is it not true that the Bible says of sighing and crying for the abomination done in the city? Is not that the way of knowing whether you're born again or not? But have you, how many of you has got where you don't pray for nobody? And the Bible says pray for them that spitefully use you. Don't pray for them that's just good to you and they give you, well, I'll pray for Brother Larry. He gave me money today. Boy, I'm going to pray for him. Lord, wake me up. No. That ain't what it is. Let's stand. Think on these things. Now we'll try to pick up Sunday, Lord willing, go on into a few things that we've got to pick up from this point. And I hope you understand how we've come to the new birth. And that new birth is the Lord Jesus Christ coming and living in you in the person of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. thinking that he's burnt out everything, or he hadn't come in. Kids, you ought to think about it. The Lord is dealing with you. Come to the altar. Talk to mom and daddy. Talk to them about salvation. Ask them about what it is to be saved. Because you've got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Even though mom and daddy's wonderful, you got to have it. And I believe you will if you'll ask. All right. What do we got, brother? Remember Bible study Saturday.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as an eagle.
I had about 3 hour talk yesterday with my grandson Cole. The Bible says two or three agree one thing. I want you, if you will, agree with me, Kathy.
They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
We don't want dirty things, hard things. We don't want anybody hurt. We're not praying that away. We're praying for you to take your way and you to work it out the way it's supposed to be. And that you bring him to the altar. And we believe you and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Teach me, Lord.
Anybody else?
Teach me, Lord, to wait. Oh, teach me, Lord. Down on my knees, till in your good time, you will answer my plea. Teach me not to rely.
You just reach down and touch our little sister. You let your love and grace be there. We love you and we thank you. We believe you that you'll give us the desire of our heart. And that desire is for you to touch our little sister. Burden her little heart. Whatever thing else you would have need of, that you burden her little heart. You touch her. Bring her to yourself. We love you in Jesus' name. Commit them to the Lord and believe it. Anybody else?
And not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Oh,
they that wait upon the Lord shall. Our little sister's got a little band-aid, boo-boo band-aid, okay? On her finger. Let's just ask the Lord to take care of this problem. Let it all be all right. And Father, just reach down and touch little Sarah's heart, Lord. Call her to yourself. Bring her to the right way. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Okay.
I was coming for the freckles. Go home and I need a little more.
Teach me, Lord, to while hearts are aflame, help me humble.
We send these prayer clothes. We know they'll go and do what they're supposed to do because we believe it and we commit them to you. And just reach down and touch each one. Bring them through it in Jesus' name.
And keep my eyes on you.
Anybody else?
Help me be on this earth. What you want me to be? Oh, they that wait upon
no problem.
The Lord shall renew their strength, for they shall mount up with wings as an eagle. faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Down on my knees till in your good time you will answer.
We've come to the end of the road a lot of times, and there's nowhere to go, so there's nowhere to go. The where to go is for you to let them.
I'm saying it with words. Yeah.
But to wait in prayer for an answer.
All right. But now I want to tell you this way. Make sure that when you pray for the burden, for them, you know, to be come, that things start going wrong. Don't start crying and saying, Lord, I didn't mean it that way. Because you're not committing them to the Lord. You got to commit them there, even if you look at them laying in the bed and them sick as a dog. And you say, well, okay, I'm still believing. Huh? And then the main thing is you. You've got to believe. Okay? Now, that's what I said a minute ago. You don't mean your kids are going to be saved because of your kids. But if you can have enough faith, the prophet said, for your own self, you can believe it for your family. And now this is what he said. He said, and I say, or doubt, that if you don't have faith for your children, then you don't have it for yourself. You understand what he's saying? You got to have faith for them to believe no matter what's taking place. No matter how bad it goes. But then you want to walk before them to make sure that they see Christ. Right? And then when it happens, then we believe him.
Help me be
anybody else?
What you want me to be. Obey that wait upon the Lord.
Anybody else who could have a need?
Their strength,
they shall mount up
with wings
as an eagle. Teach me, Lord, to. Has anybody, now I talked to Brother Collie Monday, I guess it was, and he was going back to the doctor. I didn't get to call him since then, but anybody heard anything from him since Monday, how he's doing? Because he said then that he was, you know, he's beginning to feel better and everything, but he's going back to the doctor for them to check him out. So I just didn't know where he had contacted anybody or anything. But just keep praying for him.
Amen.
You know, and that's the main thing. We pray for him because he's, you know, he's one that's been here a long time. He's one of them anchors that sits right there.
Right.
It kind of reminds me of the time that we was putting the roof on the church back here, and that we was out on this edge, and it's about 40 feet up there, you know. Well, we was kind of concerned about falling off. So Brother Fred Hooper, he's kind of a little guy, you know. I had a no big old grass rope, or not grass, but an airline rope. So I said, well, okay, we'll just anchor off and we'll hang. I happened to think about it, so I went and got Brother Collie. There was a lot of up here working. I said, I got a job for you. He said, okay, what? Took him up on this side, sloping down this way, and we were over on this side. I said, Brother Collie, I got a job for you, but it's going to require a lot of things. I'll do anything, you know. I said, all right, sit down right there. And I took a rope and I tied it to him. I hung the rope on the other side for me and Brother Fred. And I said, Brother Collie, if the building falls, you don't move. Your job is to anchor right here. He was still sitting there when we got through and putting on the shingles because he's always been an anchor sitting right down there for all this time. So just pray for him. Okay, Father, we just thank you for your love and your grace. And we ask you to let your understanding be with us. And we pray that what we said tonight, Lord, was enough to let the people finally know what we're talking about and the new birth and what you are. And, Lord, we love you and we thank you. Just bless each one. Remember Brother Collie, Lord, and just touch him. Remember Brother Darty and his eyesight. And we thank you for touching Sister Julie there the other day, Lord, and all the problems with her eyesight. And just continue to make her whole because we want a full deliverance. Remember Brother Dick, Lord, remember her wife and Brother Al there, Lord, and the different ones that are sick among us. And just touch each one. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Bless the people on the way home. Take care of them in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. There to sing.